Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wickman, and I am so excited because I happen to have one of my longtime friends, someone who I've known for a really long time, Jimmy Mason.
It has been a long time.
And man, I remember doing all kinds of stuff, some media guide things and all that, but let's just start with what have you been doing lately? Let's not go with history. Let's go with now.
You know, it's that busy time of year, so it's I've been on the water a lot.
Right.
The last month or so, primarily concentrating on smallmouth. Now it's kind of transitioning to largemouth at Gunnersville, but right. It's been a really great spring so far.
So talk about it. You just dropped Gunnersville, but tell them where you guide at because you...
I guide on the four Tennessee River lakes in North Alabama, Wheeler, Wilson, Pickwick, and Gunnersville. Primarily right. Pickwick and Gunnersville. They're probably take up 75% of my trips.
All right.
You know, in the springtime, a lot of guys want to come and catch big smallmouth.
Right.
So it's a lot of Pickwick in that March and early April time frame. And Gunnersville is such a great lake in April and early May when the fish are for up shallow spawning, just like they're here at the Cup. And it's easy for guys that don't fish a lot to catch a lot of fish.
All right. Tell them, for people that are interested on a guide trip, let's just say – they call you up and they go, hey, I want to go fishing for smallmouth. How's that work, dude? What do they need to bring? How do they do that?
I always tell people, unless you specifically want to bring a few rods and reels that you want to fish with, that you're right. comfortable fishing with, I have everything. Just bring whatever clothing is appropriate for the day.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about lures and how we can catch fish catch fish below the dam on Pickwick out of McFarland Park. Like what would you be fishing? And give us the four seasons. Let's say go through the four seasons and tell us what you would be fishing with.
Well, you know, and you get in the spring, you get the pre-spawn bite. And that time of year, it's a lot of big spinner baits, you know, 1 ounce, 3/4 ounce spinner baits.
Wow.
The Bouillard Covert, you know, with a single wheel leaf to get down in the current. And a lot of swim baits, a lot of 4.5 inch Scottsboro Tackle swim baits on right. 1/2 ounce, a 3/4 ounce head where it gets down in the current. You know, the smaller ones, you know, the 3 inch sometimes when the fish get pressured and finicky, that smaller swim bait will catch them. And then as it transitions into the spawn, you know, the fish move out of the current. It becomes right. more of a slack water deal, and you're using shaky heads, yum dingers, a lot right. of Ned rigs, that type thing.
Okay.
As we get into after the spawn's over, the fish start moving back out. Then it becomes more of the deeper water baits, you know, the Carolina rigs, the big crank baits, the biffle head style, wobble head jigs.
Right.
And that pretty much, there's topwater bite a lot of mornings and in the evenings, but, you know, a lot of it's deeper, and especially when a lot of current's running.
Right.
Then you get in the fall, it becomes live bait season. That's the traditionally, you know, one of the best ways.
And big smallmouth, right?
Well, the spring is when you catch the biggest.
Right.
You start getting in November, December, you catch big ones. You catch a lot of more numbers in September and October.
Right. And then that takes you to winter. Then
takes
what do you
to winter. A lot of Alabama rig fishing. A lot, of course, now with forward facing sonar, a lot of the jig head minnow fishing, which, you know, you mix that in throughout the year as well.
Right.
So fishing like the yum forward facing sonar minnows and the Great Lakes finesse minnows, dropping those in front of fish on forward facing.
All right. So I'm gonna throw, I hope, a curveball at you. Let's say we run all the way over to the border. Tennessee, you're still on Pickwick, but you run up to there. What are you going to fish around there, and where at?
Well, it depends on the time of the year.
Okay,
you know, of course.
Tell us the best time if you put in McFarland Park and decide that you get a wild hare and want to run all the way up there to the state line.
Well, you know, that's a great time of year. I mean, it's throughout the year is good down there, but it's definitely as the fish move out and get on the
right.
ledges, that's the best time. And that's when that Carolina rig, the football jig, and the big crankbaits.
Right.
And like I said, nowadays with forward facing, I mean, there's not a bad season for forward facing, really.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good. I mean, it's amazing what forward facing has really taught us.
So if someone was to open your tackle box, what would be your top shelf lures? Top shelf, baby. And you only can have like five. You can't have a whole bunch.
No doubt.
I mean, okay. Is it a spinnerbait?
Oh, I throw the probably that 3/4 ounce covert, bouillard covert.
Okay.
The double willow leaves is something I throw. I'll always have one tied on.
Okay.
You know, the heavier current, I'll cut one of the lead willow blade off where you get that single willow to get down in the current. A single
right.
willow leaf has less drag, so it gets down better.
Uh-huh.
Always going to have that on. I'm always going to have a shaky head with a dinger on it.
Okay.
That's, you know, I fish a 5-inch yum dinger a lot on a War Eagle shaky head. I think you get a bigger bite than having, you know, you catch a bigger grade of fish than you
right.
do with a traditional trick worm.
Right.
So I'm always going to have a biffle head with a yum scutter bug on it, which is, you know, that bait that used to be the biffle bug. Now it's transitioned over because that's such a versatile bait. You can, you know, whether you're fishing the 5/16 or the 9/16 or the 11/16, you know, the depth and the speed you're trying to get. I mean, that covers a huge water column. Probably always going to have a spook on for, you know, because the smallmouth traditionally, once you get post-spawn all the way through the fall, you're going to be able to catch them at some point every day. You can catch a smallmouth on a topwater on pickweed.
Wow. That's crazy.
And probably a Carolina rig.
Okay. And what are you going to put on the Carolina rig?
I'm going to put the a Yum Christy Critter.
Oh, okay.
Which is a creature bait, and you know, my favorite on the Tennessee River, a mixture of green pumpkin blue is always really good. So ghillie suit, which is green pumpkin blue and copper flake, is a great color. It's a brim imitator. It's a crawfish imitator. It's just a good all-around neutral color. And Bama Magic, which is a green pumpkin blue swirl.
Okay. Yeah, so those are like every reservoir that you guide in is a good reservoir for soft plastic, isn't it?
It is.
Tell us how are you going to rig like a soft swim bait and tell us which one, but tell us what jig head you're going to use and kind of line size and kind of rod size. Because are you switching your rod up when you go to a bigger, heavier swim baits?
Definitely,
so tell us.
Definitely. And, you know, my standard for throwing a swim bait, you know, whether it be out on the ledges or in the current, is going to be a 4.5-inch Yum Scottsboro tackle swim bait and with a 1/2-ounce recon head. Now, if I'm trying to get deeper or the current's really ripping, I'm going to throw a 3/4-ounce.
Right.
But I'll start out with a 1/2. And if I'm not making bottom contact, then I'll bump it up to a 3/4. That same swim bait, like I use at Gunnersville a lot right now, except I'm throwing it with an Owner Beast hook.
Right.
The 6-aught Owner Beast hook with a 1/4-ounce weight, and I'm swimming over the top of the grass. And that lets you get, you know, these fish through when you can see the black shadows of the grass or up in that shallow milfoil, the fish are trying to bed. You know, you can throw that on that weighted hook, throw it weedless on that weighted hook and get a ton of bites.
Right.
So it's a real versatile swim bait because, you know, either with a weighted hook or the jig head, you can fish it shallow, high in the shallow grass, or you can fish it deep on the ledges or in current.
Is there a certain color you like on that?
You know, this year we've had a lot of muddy water, so I've thrown the blueback chartreuse a lot.
Uh-huh.
Overall, probably pro blue pearl is my favorite. It's kind of a neutral shad color.
Right. So let's talk about rocks and river fishing. Rocks love to eat lures. Now, I know you may have an unlimited supply of lures, but no one likes to sit and retie all the time. So what's your strategy? Like, give us a couple lures and your strategy for not getting hung up, especially like crankbaits or a swim bait
like
style.
With a big crankbait or the swim bait, you know, whenever you're fish cranking the rocks or throwing a swim bait over a rocky patch shell beds or anything like that out on the ledges, getting behind where you were. You know, sometimes you hate to do that because, like, if you're casting on a group of fish and you get hung, you really hate to get on top of them. But, you know, you can get on the other side. Usually it's going to be trapped in a crevice, you know, so that if you get behind and reverse your pulling angle,
right,
you're going to be able to pop it free. If that doesn't work, I make a lot of pocket rocks, you know, and which is basically like a 3-ounce catfish weight with a little snap on it and drop it and put it on my line and drop it down on.
What's the tips though for not getting hung up? Like, do you always go up current? Is there certain things that I know that after a while you're like reading a seam, and tell us what a seam is.
A seam is where a faster current and a slower current basically either come together or slack water and the current come together. So those fish will sit in the slower moving water,
right,
facing up and letting that faster moving current bring it. So, you know, when you're presenting your bait, you want to always try to bring it with the current. Uh-huh. That's a more natural presentation. And it also, you know, your bait, when your bait is working down current, you won't hang as much. You know, part of it is, you know, is experience, you know. So right. You're trying to anticipate what you're fixing to hit before you hit it. So right. A lot of times you'll actually feel like the rock or if it's a stump or whatever, you'll feel it on your line before your bait gets to it. So when you start feeling, a lot of times you'll feel your bait approaching it by your line making contact with whatever you're trying to hit.
Right.
And then you want to kind of speed up your retrieve a little bit to kind of rise it up over there. If it's a crankbait and you start feeling your line hit the stump or the rock, you know, you back off a little bit, let the crankbait float up. So that's probably just learning the feel of your line making contact with the right. cover and anticipating your bait fixing to get to it.
All right, let's go to grass, because obviously you're fishing Guntersville. You got a lot of grass that you're dealing with.
Grass.
And, like, is there – when you go out and you're fishing a grass lake, how do you approach that? Do you go like, oh, I might start with a frog or I might start with a swim bait? I mean, are you – is there – what? How does that
season,
work?
You uh-huh. know, I mean, like – early in the season, the grass is going to be below the surface more than it is later in the season. You know, as
right.
the grass is growing throughout the season, it's getting closer to the surface, it's topping out, and that makes that changes your approach. You know, early in the season, you're throwing a lipless bait or a bladed jig where you can work it over the top of it, and
uh-huh.
and then as the season, you know, as the fish go on bed, you're throwing more plastics and moving out deeper. You're kind of changing your bait as the season goes along.
Right.
You know, Guntersville is a lake that the grass has changed tremendously over the years. And, you know, years ago, eelgrass was a very minor player over there.
Right.
And we would actually look for clumps of eelgrass. And you know, I can remember in Alabama Bass Trail, we had a top five in that this was – the first year that was, and we were specifically looking for patches of eelgrass, and some of them will be the size of this table. And we probably had 20 of them marked and just rotated with them throughout the day. And like I said, had a top five finish. Well, then now eelgrass has kind of become the predominant grass in places. So you're looking
right.
for patches of hydrilla and milfoil in the eelgrass and kind of a reverse. So knowing the different types of grasses is huge because there's sometimes, you know, where anytime you find a mix of grasses, that's a place that you really want to remember, mark, because when the grass mix, the fish really like that for some reason. And a lot of times you'll have a bottom type transition. Certain different grasses grow better in different bottoms. So one of the biggest drawbacks to eelgrass over the years is it breaks up so much, the coots pull it up, and just it breaks up, the wave action breaks it up, and it'll float to the surface, and it will shut down certain areas. You know, like when you have the wind blowing into a bay or blowing across one side of the lake to the other, a lot of times all that broken eelgrass will float up and make an area unfishable. So you'll actually come to an area that's been one of your, you know, your key areas, you know, for several days, and all of a sudden there's just mats of floating eelgrass. There's so much eelgrass floating on the surface that you can't effectively work a bait through. And there's really nothing you can do except leave for the most part. Now, a little trick that I've started doing the last few years with some of my clients is, you know, once we get into May and June, Guntersville is a great topwater lake.
Right.
It's a great for a popper, you know, my favorite's the Booyah Boss Pop, and
right.
and catch a ton of fish every year on it. But sometimes that eelgrass will just totally shut an area down with that. But you can take a little small weedless popping frog.
Right.
And even though it's not matted up, it's just scattered on the top, you can fish that popper just like a that popping frog, just like a popper, and, uh-huh. and have a lot of luck.
All right, so I know you don't own any spinning rods because, you know, you're on the TVA lakes and fishing those big beast things, and I know you don't have any, but go ahead and tell us what's your two favorite rods if you have a spinning rod and your bait caster. If you can only have two laying on your deck, you got to have a spin rod, you got to have a bait caster.
You know, that's a tough one. Probably from and spinning rods, I probably have a dozen in the boat just because, you know, a lot of clients. And, right. and honestly, it's fishing's changed where, you know, finesse will definitely catch more fish. And
okay.
A 7 foot, a loose 7 foot medium. Right now, I'm throwing a lot of the new LFS series, which is.
Okay. Tell them what that stands for. The acronym.
Light, fast, and strong. And
okay.
It's.
I thought that was your nickname in high school.
That's right. But you know, it's amazing. Like that. That's a new series that came out this year.
Yeah.
It's 129, and it's really become one of my favorite ones to fish with. It's got cork grips and.
Oh wow.
But it's just, you know, it's kind of gone. A lot of rods have gone away from cork, and this one uh-huh. kind of went back more traditional
nice.
And super light, strong, and. Very sensitive, and so I'll always have several 7 foot mediums of those laid out.
Okay,
and now I like a little bigger spinning reel, so I'll always uh-huh. have the 3000 size.
Okay,
and I have about half and half loaded with braid, and
oh wow,
the other right. half loaded with straight fluorocarbon because okay. certain baits I feel like work better with straight fluorocarbon instead of the braid leader. If you're trying to get a bait that the fall and it is real important, I think you get a better fall with straight fluorocarbon.
All right, how about a bait caster? You just can go with like a 7.6 and just power fish everything. Come on, man. You're from Tennessee. You ain't going to – you're not going to throw
some. A 7.3 medium heavy will cover most everything. That's
okay.
about as versatile as it gets.
All right.
So, I mean, you can crankbait fish. I mean, it may not do everything the best, but you can do everything pretty good.
Okay. All right, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. So if you're out there in Alabama power fishing or finesse fishing, you can check their stuff out there at picolures.com. Jimmy, if they want to go on a guide trip or they want to go on an electronic, you know, guide trip where you teach them how to do that, or if they just want to go catch fish.
They can on all the social medias, Jimmy Mason Fishing on Facebook and Instagram, or you can go to my website is jimmymasonbassfishing.com.
All right, there you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp.